Hey, everybody. I'm Eileen Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and I want to welcome you to our Lead Well for Life Change podcast. I have today with me a very special guest. Her name is Linda Williams. Linda, welcome.
Thank you.
Linda is the executive director of With Love from Jesus, and she is also the author of The Unseen Path, or rather Unseen Path. And as you know, with Treasure Ministries, I do not ever recommend a book that I haven't fallen in love with. And I've fallen in love with this book because God has used it to really change my perspective on His heart for people and the importance for unity and how that makes us better leaders inside of our homes. Mm-hmm. Better leaders inside of our local church, and better leaders inside of just the body of Christ all over the world as a community.
That's right.
So, Linda, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you for allowing me to be.
Well, we're glad that you're here. And can you tell us first, before we get into the book, The Unseen Path, can you tell us briefly a little bit about With Love from Jesus, where it's located and what you all do?
Okay, absolutely. We are an evangelical outreach to the needy community. Mm-hmm. And we are located in Raleigh, on the south side of Raleigh. Mm-hmm. And we welcome in the neediest of the needy mm-hmm. in our community. People that have lost their jobs, or people that have generational poverty, or mm-hmm. Single moms, seniors on fixed incomes that can't make ends meet.
Right.
And so we welcome them into our building, and they hear the word, mm-hmm. and then they're given a shopping cart, mm-hmm. and they get to move through the building and get things that they need for their household.
Wonderful, wonderful.
It's a privilege.
And how did With Love from Jesus start?
With Love from Jesus actually started in our home.
Mm-hmm.
17 and a half years ago,
mm-hmm.
We, in our own family, in our little local church, mm-hmm. we were going through a really, really difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And a local grocery store came to us and said, "We're throwing away hundreds of dollars worth of food every single day. Would your church like to have that food and use it to serve the community?"
Mm-hmm.
And we did. And mm-hmm. so we would feed people in ministry that needed to be fed first.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would make up bags, and we would go into the community and begin to give away food with love from Jesus, which is where our name came from.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. So 17 years ago.
Almost 18.
And today it's a ministry that is thriving and God is using. And if people want to find out about With Love for Jesus or donate, they can go to the website.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And we will put that link at the bottom of the podcast, so it'll be very easy for you to find.
Perfect.
Now, the success of With Love from Jesus.
Jesus.
Yes.
Is the success.
Jesus is the success.
Yes.
But you have a fundamental principle that God taught you.
Yes.
Over a period of years.
Yes.
A principle that you live by, which is unity in the body of Christ.
Correct.
And Jesus is the success, but the principle that He's taught you is this principle of unity.
Absolutely.
And because the body of Christ has so many different expressions, because every believer is so different.
Correct.
That when we get together as a group, and we do need to do that, because you can't lead by yourself.
That's right.
You can't lead. You have to lead with others. And God calls us to be in community. Mm-hmm. And it all sounds beautiful, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like Shangri-La. Like we all just get along. But it's difficult and it's hard sometimes. But what I found in reading your book mm-hmm. is that we are really... sometimes I think making it more difficult than it really is. And
yes.
So unity, I believe too, is a strong key for leading others, whether you're leading your children or leading inside of your home or inside of your workplace. But achieving that unity comes from a walk that God has to take us on ourselves first, and that he took you on, and that's what the unseen path is about.
Mm-hmm.
So can you talk a little bit about that training ground and how God used that to teach you what and how that works out in your life today?
Yes. Well, sometimes you don't really understand until you look back.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how all the puzzle pieces fit together, or as I say often in the book, the dots connect.
Mm-hmm.
But for Sam and I, we were involved in lots of church situations that sometimes just didn't seem to be going well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And there would be places of conflict, places where heads would come together, places where people had difficulty moving on together.
Mm-hmm.
And in those places, God began to do a work in us of helping us to understand that all of these pieces are important and all of these people are important.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that we have to get on the same page doctrinally or mm-hmm. understanding even each other, but it's that we are on the same page with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
as we stay on the same page with Jesus, we will move in the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about me getting somebody to agree with me or me even getting somebody to understand me, which mm-hmm. we always want. Please
we
help
do.
Me to understand.
We want to be understood.
We do.
Absolutely do. Yeah.
But sometimes what we have to do is say, this relationship is more important than the situation we're in right now.
Wow.
And we have to fight.
Wow.
Uh-huh. For the relationship, mm-hmm. and that means we fight against our enemy
mm-hmm.
instead of fighting our brother and sister in Christ.
Mm.
And the enemy has so set us up, and we've fallen for it. I mean, it's our fault. We can't blame him.
Yeah.
We've fallen for it.
Yeah.
But that our diversity is somehow bad,
mm-hmm.
or that you being different from me means that I need to segregate from you and have nothing to do with you. And so the enemy builds up all these walls,
mm-hmm.
or we build the walls up under the unction
mm-hmm.
of the enemy. But the beautiful thing that happens is that when we grab hold of the truth
mm-hmm.
that the relationship is more important,
mm-hmm.
then we focus on that
mm-hmm.
and those other things can begin to fall away.
Right.
And
right.
that's when unity rises up
mm-hmm.
and God solves those other things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I love what you say about focus, because if we're focusing on what's different about us or my right to get that person to see where I'm coming from.
Yes.
Rather than just, God understands me, so that's enough.
Mm-hmm.
And shifting my focus different, that brings a new perspective on people.
Yes.
And on where we need to head.
Yes.
And one of the things that I loved in your book about the church struggle that you went through, because I think so many times, even unbelievers looking at the church, you know, Jesus said, they're going to know you not by that great program you put on, not by, you know, the fancy church building you have. They're going to know you because you love each other. That's how they're going to know that you're my disciples. And a lot of unbelievers look in and they don't see that. Or a lot of believers go into church and they do experience heartache and hurt or difficulty. And but what I loved about your outcome from that is that you loved the body even more from that, that it taught you the importance of the church family. And I think that that's important to hear. I'm one that will just say, okay, you know, instead of just talking through things or whatever, I'll just pull back. But for you, it was a call to that became of greater importance to you. And I just think that that is amazing. Can you speak to the importance of having a church family and, as you say, fighting for that?
Yes. And Eileen, one of the things that became a rub for me is in the early days of walking with the Lord, I began to learn my identity in Christ. I am holy. I am set apart by God. And all of those beautiful things that God says about us. Well, the day came when the reality is that that's true about me, but it's true about my brother and sister in Christ too. So if I want to view myself as holy, if I want to view myself as set apart, if I want to view myself as the apple of God's eye, then I have to view my brother and sister that way too. And that's quite a rub. Because when you have locked horns, bumped heads with someone, and you're passionate about what you're saying, and they're passionate about what they're saying, the feeling is that somebody's right and somebody's wrong. So I'm sure I'm right. So I've got to make you see that I'm right. And it just builds the fire and builds the fire and builds the fire. But if we can stop and say, wait a minute, I'm holy. I'm set apart by God. I am a child of the King of Glory. And the person I'm locking horns with is too. And it levels the playing ground. And it causes me to have to value that person, their opinion, where they're coming from, in the, on the same place that I would value mine.
That's beautiful.
And that's hard. And that's where we sharpen each other.
That's
we love
where
that
we
verse.
But
sharpening each other pokes each other too. When you sharpen, you poke.
Absolutely.
It's not an easy rub.
And I want to reiterate that point because that was paramount for me. In the fact you were talking about in the beginning of one of your chapters where you were learning about this unity, about the importance of our words. And about how that we partner with God's truth by what we say. And I loved that. And you talked about the fact that in my that the reality is I'm still struggling with this sin, but the truth is, God's truth is, I am holy, I am set apart, I am blameless, and the more and I will not give up. And I thought, and when I read that, I thought, yes, that's so true. You know, victory is mine. And then you said, he taught me that these declarations, along with prayer, are often the only way I can partner with him and what he is doing in my life. And at that point, I would say, yes, or the life of somebody else. And I read that and I thought, that's the key.
It is.
And I was, I teared up and I was convicted because, like you say, I love to say that about my friends. Yeah, you're holy, you're set apart, you're da-da-da-da-da. But to somebody that is hurting somebody that I love. Or has hurt me. That's harder to say. But if I'm going to love and accept myself and rejoice in my core authentic identity in Christ, in this beautiful grace that he gives me, which is not based on what I do, then I've got to do that for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I've got to separate their due for who they are in Christ. That's that was huge to me. Because I wrestled with, but, you know, and then it's like I read this book and it's like God says, but, like, this is who I say you are. And yet sometimes, you know, you struggle with this sin, and we're all struggling.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no difference between my sin and somebody else's sin, and this one is great. We're all struggling.
It's all of us.
Yeah.
We all have that place that God is growing us and that we're struggling, and we do not always handle it well.
No.
And so for us to expect others to always handle it well, but we get off, there's something not right there.
Right. And
hard pill to swallow.
Exactly. It is. But I think it almost opens up that door of, and it is fundamental, I think, in this, for you to receive God's love for you, because,
absolutely,
because then you can say, right, like you say this about me, and so I can love that person, and I'm not going to focus anymore on what they're doing. I'm going to focus on who they are in Christ and focus there. And I think that that's huge in unity.
Absolutely.
And so that was just huge to me. That was huge. Another thing that you talk about, and I wanted to ask you this question, because one thing that you say is that, you know, the diversity shouldn't divide us, that it completes us.
Yes.
And I love that. So, and I have experience too, talking with people who are maybe in a different denomination. And when you can have these rich conversations where it's almost like we're walking in their shoes, or we get to pull and see their perspective and just talk through a scripture without getting upset, it sharpens us.
It does.
Like you say, and it makes us grow. So can you speak more to that, how diversity completes us instead of dividing us?
Yes. At With Love from Jesus, I will just use that as an example. We have about 68, give or take one or two, different churches that are plugged in on some level. Mm-hmm. Some might be donors, some might be volunteers, maybe they'll do a canned food drive, send their youth group, but we have about 68 different churches that are involved. So when someone comes to know the Lord, we have to recognize the truth that there's not one church that's going to be perfect for everybody. Each person needs to find their family. They need to find their church that God's called them to. And my doctrine, my church, my belief can't enter into me helping that person find where they need to be. And so in that place, if you look at, say, Raleigh, North Carolina, and you look at all the people here that all need Jesus, as we, the body of Christ, do our work to draw them into the kingdom, then they get plugged into different places. And those places are very diversified. But those places all come from the same core. There is only one way to the Father, and that's through the blood of Jesus. And so if we agree on that, if we agree on that, and our focus is, how can I walk with you, Lord? How can I honor you, Lord? And then we, so to speak, let the chips fall where they may. Let Holy Spirit God direct people where they should be, and we can rest in that. When I look back at the very first church God called me to go to, I see a church that God used strategically in my life for that season, that put stuff in me that I needed. Mm-hmm. It is not the place that God called me to be forever. Mm-hmm. But it was strategic, and I needed to glean everything I could from that stage of life that I was in, because making the next step and doing it well means that I get everything I can from the step I'm in. Mm-hmm. And I think mm-hmm. in the body of Christ, if we could receive each other if we could receive each other thinking there's something in you that God wants to deposit in me, mm-hmm. not how can I fix you?
Ooh,
but how
good.
Can I get, because there is something that mm-hmm. you bring a deposit, mm-hmm. you bring a supply from God for me mm-hmm. when you and I are together. Mm-hmm. Hopefully the reverse is true too.
Right.
But it's
right.
not up to me to say, Eileen, this is what you need to get from me today.
Right.
Or for me to say, this is what I need to get from you today. It's up to Holy Spirit God to give me from yeah. you what I need
yeah.
and vice versa.
Yeah.
And if we can approach each other in the body from the place of you're bringing a supply to me
mm-hmm.
and hopefully you're drawing a supply from me,
mm-hmm.
just think how much more exciting it would be to get together in the diversity of the body of Christ. Because
yeah.
the truth is, God's doing some things in my life that He's already accomplished in yours.
Mm-hmm.
And He's doing some things in your life that He's already accomplished in me.
Mm-hmm.
And so mm-hmm. I need to be patient with you mm-hmm. in the places that you're not there yet,
yeah.
as I want you to be patient with me in the places that I'm not there yet. And
yeah.
so in that diversity, we get what we need to become the complete people we are in Christ. It's a work that's going to go on till we see Jesus face
yeah.
to face, which
yeah.
maybe will be today.
Yeah.
But until that trumpet sounds, until that happens, we need to keep getting the supply and giving the supply
yeah.
from each other
yeah.
and to each other.
That's beautiful. I love that. And I think that gives freedom too.
It does.
Because it doesn't mean that unity doesn't mean agreement with everybody.
No.
It doesn't
no.
mean agreement. And I think sometimes we think, okay, if I'm going to be unified, then that means I can't have an opinion, or I can't bring the expression or the calling that God has given me to the table, which is something else I loved in your book, that the Lord had called you to minister to the least of these,
right?
And that in one situation, that the church that you were a part of, you know, wasn't uncomfortable with everything that was going on.
Right.
And so, but unity didn't mean that you stop following the Lord.
Correct.
Because God is God.
That's
so
right.
Unity doesn't mean that people are our God now and we become quiet.
That's right.
Unity means that I bring the full expression of who I am.
Correct.
And I, or who God has created me to be.
Right.
And which is a constant ongoing progress work. And I respect the full expression of who God has created you to be, which I see is a beautiful progress work. I am not the Holy Spirit, so I will take my Holy Spirit badge off, but I will not stop being who I am. And it doesn't mean that people are now God. It means that God is God, and I'm here to love people and give
right.
and honor their calling, and also honor what God has given me as an important piece of the puzzle of that diversity.
Mm-hmm.
So is that right?
Yes. And sometimes in that place that feels like conflict and tension, mm-hmm. that feels uncomfortable, that feels like we're enemies instead of brothers and sisters, enemies instead of friends. Sometimes in that place that we're working through, that we're struggling with each other, God is fine-tuning, even for me, direction on what He's having me to do. For instance, in the book, I talk about a situation that clearly God had called us to this church. Mm-hmm. He had not spoken yet the word for us to leave. Mm-hmm. So we were clearly called to this church. We were also clearly called to a ministry that this church felt like they couldn't support.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yet, I was fully called to them. I was fully called to this work. Mm-hmm. So God, what do I do? Mm-hmm. And so it took me deeper in the Word, deeper in prayer, mm-hmm. more in seeking the heart of God. And what I found was that there was a tweaking of what God was calling me to do now, mm-hmm. as I pressed to what I would be doing in the future. Mm-hmm. But there was a tweaking of it for right now, mm-hmm. that fit the church I was called to and fit the call of God on my life, mm-hmm. with no compromise from me, mm-hmm. but me being able to walk in a place of love and acceptance with my brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And that's powerful.
Yeah.
Because if they had just readily agreed with me and we had lickety-split gone along with mm-hmm. what I knew God was calling me to do, I would have missed some equipping pieces that I needed mm-hmm. to step back and enter into that other ministry that was a little different, mm-hmm. but the same, mm-hmm. but was a different step along my path.
Yeah.
And so I needed that piece. Mm-hmm. And it would have been better if we could have done it in a more pleasant way, and Jesus would have loved that. I know, because Jesus likes when brothers and sisters are pleasant.
Yeah, yeah.
So it would have been better if we could have done it better, mm-hmm. if we could have handled it better, but we didn't give up, mm-hmm. and we worked through it, and that became a place for me of equipping that is so valuable to me today, mm-hmm. that little conflict is microscopic, mm-hmm. compared to what I learned and how it's playing out in my life today.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And we're often willing to scrap it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll scrap what God wants us to learn to move on for something that we might call peace or getting along, or we'll label it something that God doesn't even label it.
Yeah.
But we will label it with some Christianized word,
mm-hmm.
to give us the right to walk away.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And all it does is gives us an out.
Yeah.
When God wants us to die to ourselves.
Yeah.
Because Jesus died,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so we could have it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
And it's painful.
Yeah.
And it's not fun.
Yeah, like, we're not going to sugarcoat it.
No, but it's vital. Mm-hmm. Childbirth is not without pain. Mm-hmm. It is not pleasant, mm-hmm. every second.
Yeah.
Many seconds.
Yeah.
But who of us would throw it away, mm-hmm. to get that product, mm-hmm. that we get.
Amen. And
this is the same thing.
Amen.
It's the same thing in the spiritual.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. I love that. I'm going to read this. Psalm 133 says, "How wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony." And harmony are at least two, but maybe three or four or five notes that blend well together.
Yes.
And so we don't, we stay true to our note. And then we understand that in order to make the most beautiful chords, mm-hmm. that we need others in the body of Christ and to honor their C. And then, oh goodness, it's been years since I've taken piano, but I can't remember the G chord, that we need other brothers in Christ. Let me ask you this, is there ever a time that Talk to me about speaking truth in love, or speaking, like, what does that mean to you? And, with unity, because, I think that, and this kind of goes along with, sometimes we feel like unity means that I'm just not going to say anything. And sometimes it does mean that, but then other times, in other words, for the sharpening to happen, like I need to hear about that person's story and that person's perspective inside. That's how I'm going to become enriched. And sort of like when you're driving in a car and you can see here and you can see here and you've got this mirror that you can see here, but there's a blind spot. And so sometimes I'm walking with the Lord, and as you say, there's an area in my life, like, let's just get honest. God has really used this book to convict me about unity and about loving people, not for what they do, but who they mm-hmm. are in a mm-hmm. brand new way. So that was because there was truth in this book that you shared. And if, so can you speak to that?
Yes, I'm glad you came back to that, because mm-hmm. a few minutes ago we were talking about how important it is for me to view my brothers and sisters as who they are, holy, set apart by God, mm-hmm. a child of God, the apple of his eye. That doesn't mean we excuse sin. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that we excuse bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Those are two very different things. Mm-hmm. And I use the example in the book that, like when my little girls were growing up, if they would tell me a lie, mm-hmm. I would say to them, that's a lie. In this home, we do not lie, mm-hmm. but I never call them a liar, because they were not a liar. They are a child of God. They're set apart by God. They're holy. Okay. So they can never be called a liar, because they are holy and righteous. Okay. But a holy, righteous child of God can lie.
Right.
And so correction had to be brought into their life if they told me a lie. I couldn't say, oh, honey, you're holy. Go on and live your life. And I had to say, you're holy. And because you are, you can't get by with lying.
Right.
And so there's a place with brothers and sisters in Christ that we have to address what's wrong. Mm-hmm. Or we have to speak what God has made us passionate about, mm-hmm. that we have to speak it, even if we know it's not going to be received, or mm-hmm. even if we know it's not going to be liked, mm-hmm. that we still have to do it. But it all comes from an attitude of acceptance and love.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't come from, I get to set you straight. It comes from, I want more for you than this.
Yes.
And because I want more for you than this, I am responsible. I carry a stewardship from the Lord that what I say into your life is truth. Mm-hmm. Now, if you don't agree with me, or you don't like what I say, or you don't change, I'm not going to quit loving you. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to quit being your friend. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to quit answering the phone when I see your caller ID come mm-hmm. up. I'm not going to isolate myself from you, but I'm not going to pretend it's all okay.
Right.
And one of the ways that we practically walk that out is that if we're in that hard place, we might need to step back for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And come back together again. Mm-hmm. And in that stepping back, what I need to do is get along with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I need to say, okay, Lord, if there is a speck in my sister's eye, there must be a beam in mine. Mm-hmm. So is there a beam in my eye I need to get out? Mm-hmm. Is there something that she's saying to me or he's saying to me that I'm not receiving? Mm-hmm. Is there something that I need to straighten out with me? Mm-hmm. Because if I do, Lord, I got to get that straight first. Because between you and me, things have to be right.
Right.
And so she is your child, loved by you as much as I am. Mm-hmm. And so if there's one drop of truth mm-hmm. in what she has said or where she's coming from that I'm not willing to appropriate, I need you to show that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I need to deal with that between me and God. And then the other thing I need to do is I need to forgive her. Mm-hmm. I need to, even if she's right, mm-hmm. I still need to forgive her because she probably didn't do it right.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Or it hurt my feelings. Mm-hmm. And if my feelings are hurt, I need to forgive somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because forgiveness goes to the core of our being. It goes to how we feel.
Uh-huh.
And so I might need to forgive her. I might need to deal with myself. And then I come back again.
Right.
And I say, you know what? Since you and I talked the last time, I've spent some time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And He's really shown me that when you said this, I took it the wrong way, or I mm-hmm. didn't receive it as you wanting to help me, or whatever level ground I can get on with her.
Mm-hmm.
I mm-hmm. need to go back mm-hmm. and say, and you know what? I'd really like for us to pick this conversation up because God has put this passion in my heart. I can't make it go away. Mm-hmm. And so I really do want us to continue to work through this. And so I think sometimes in the heat of the moment, we try to conquer instead of save the relationship.
Yeah.
And sometimes to save the relationship, we need to say, can we hug? Can we declare that we love each other? And can we
yeah.
take a little bit of time and get along with the Lord and
Come back together.
Yes.
I love that. I love that.
Yes.
So,
because we're a work in progress.
Yeah, because we're a work in progress.
Yes.
And I think that's those are important steps that somebody can take
mm-hmm.
Because what you've said is just because somebody is in Christ, they still, you know, sin, they still hurt, they still do those wrong things.
Mm-hmm.
And so when that happens to us or we're impacted by it, that we can get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, we have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
We could swallow it and say, hi, how are you? And pretend like everything's fine and think that's unity, but it's not really right because my heart isn't right towards that person.
Mm-hmm.
Or I can pull back and pray and take time,
mm-hmm.
spend time with the Lord, ask Him to show me my sin, and then come back to that person in a place of humility and focus on what the Lord has shown me, and then the action, the behavior, but not labeling that person. You're so this. So when you said this, blah, 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 but saying like, this is what God showed me. So admitting to that person that you're not up here perfect and trying to, but trying to pull that common ground to the place,
mm-hmm.
you know, and can we, and then offering that love and then focusing on when this happened, here's how it impacted me
mm-hmm.
instead of you did this to me, you are.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important to remember mm-hmm. and important to point out that, that because of someone's identity in Christ, it doesn't mean that if they hurt us, that we just say, well, that's okay. You know, that love would say that truth is important because they're important.
That's right.
So I think that's beautiful. That's
and
beautiful.
Even taking that one step further,
mm-hmm.
let's say that you're in a situation and you're the leader.
Mm-hmm.
And a decision has to be made.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to make the decision. But you know everybody's not on the same playing field with you.
Mm-hmm.
You know that everybody isn't coming from the same place you are. But a decision has to be made and the buck stops with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so there are times that even in unity, a decision has to be made that everybody can't understand at the moment. And you just sometimes have to make that decision.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that sometimes, especially as women in leadership,
mm-hmm.
we can make that decision and then we just move on
mm-hmm.
when what we need to do is make the decision so we can keep moving,
mm-hmm.
but then go back and unpack with others where they were coming from, how that feeds in, and glean from them and value what they want to give you, because it may mean that you take a turn as you keep walking this road.
Okay.
So sometimes when you are in leadership, whether you're a man or a woman, but I think especially for women in leadership, mm-hmm. that it's so hard sometimes for us in the middle of conflict and people not agreeing and things, that you have to make a decision mm-hmm. so that you can keep this boat moving down the road, down the ocean, this train moving down the track, whatever. Mm-hmm. A decision has to be made, and mm-hmm. that's your stewardship. Mm-hmm. You're responsible before the Lord. Mm-hmm. So you have to do it. But then you don't just leave people wounded and baggage.
Mm-hmm.
You go back because they're part of your team. They're part of who God's put in your life. They're part of who you are mm-hmm. in this, whatever it is, whether it's a committee or a church or whether it's with Love from Jesus or whatever. Then you go back and you be sure those relationships
mm-hmm.
are held with value.
Yeah.
Are held with value.
Yeah.
And it's so easy when you're in leadership to bulldoze
mm-hmm.
and to ignore
mm-hmm.
and to take your responsibility to make a wise decision so greatly that you would trample other people in the process.
Yeah.
And you can't do that.
Yeah. And not even from a heart of you want to trample people,
no.
but you're just a leader trying to get it done.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
So you're doing that. But and as you say, as you say in your book, which I love, and which is reflected right here in scripture, that unity, like pulling your team into that unity, speaking love to others to reconcile, looking at people for who they are in Christ rather than what they do or what doctrine, opinion that they have, that all brings unity, and that from the unity brings provision, blessing. Like God works out all those little pieces in our lives. And it says here, and this is Psalm 133:2, for harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's beard and that ran down his beard mm-hmm. and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls from the mountains of Zion. There the Lord has pronounced his blessing,
mm-hmm.
even life everlasting.
Absolutely. Isn't that beautiful?
And so from a world standpoint, and I've certainly been this way as a leader, because I'm a doer and I want to get it done. You want to follow God. You want to do all that. And that's important. But what's most, and you want to do that because you want to gain headway. You want to see blessing in your ministry. You want to move on and move forward and conquer, like you said. But the most important thing to God is people and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And what he promises is, I'll do the conquering. Right. I already have conquered. But the most valuable thing is for you to take care of people. That's what I want you to do. And let me work out all of this. And yes, you needed to make that decision, but then go back and explain. And you say that in your book. In fact, if you go to With Love from Jesus, you talked about the fact that the blessings from diversity, that the provision for it with love from Jesus comes from this place of unity.
I know. Isn't that incredible?
Yes. Yes.
I know. It is incredible.
Yeah. So can you speak some more to that?
Yes. because we give away over $1 million worth of resources every year to the community, mm-hmm. and because we see huge numbers of people come to know the Lord mm-hmm. every year, it's real easy to get our focus off of unity and get our focus on how are we going to get all these resources?
Yeah.
And how are we going to get people to see the mm-hmm. truth of God's Word? Mm-hmm. How are we going to do this when the Lord has so anointed us to understand? And that's what mm-hmm. we're talking about here, anointing, that oil dripping mm-hmm. down. Mm-hmm. He's helped us to see that our vision is that we would be a platform to display the unity of the body of Christ.
Yes, yes.
If we do that vision well, mm-hmm. then our mission, which is to meet practical need, to build the kingdom of God while meeting practical needs, mm-hmm. that our mission will happen.
Right.
We will meet practical needs and people will right. be built into the kingdom. That happens as a fruit of doing unity well.
Okay.
So when we come together and we make a big circle at team time and we pray together and we bless mm-hmm. each other and we enjoy each other and we encourage each other and when we show love to each other, a lot of different things happen. One thing happens in that the verse you talked about earlier, that the world knows that we belong to Jesus by the love we have for mm-hmm. each other. The world coming into shop looks at us mm-hmm. and thinks, what do these people have in common? They're different races, different backgrounds, different everything. Mm-hmm. What do they have in common? Mm-hmm. Well, what we have in common is Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so mm-hmm. in that place of unity and loving each other well, it whets the appetite of the community to want what we have.
Yeah.
So we are tilling the ground. We are making ready for the word to be sown so there can be a harvest even as we are showing that unity. Mm-hmm. And when you look at Acts chapter 2, Holy Spirit, God has come and he's filled everybody and everybody is walking in the same direction, focused on the same thing, loving Jesus, honoring him, moving ahead together. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that chapter, the two things that we see that happens is that Holy Spirit God adds daily those who are being saved. So the kingdom gets built mm-hmm. and practical needs are met. People right. don't go without.
Right.
And so we see that with love from Jesus, that if we focus on what God has called us to be, and that's his body, loving each other, walking in a unified way, encouraging each other, then the fruit of that is that the resources just keep coming in.
Yeah.
I don't know where they come from, but they
right.
come.
Right, right.
All 1.4 million that we gave away in 2016, I don't know what we did in 17,
awesome.
That as we just enjoy mm-hmm. being children of the King, mm-hmm. as we enjoy that place, then the supply of heaven comes.
Yeah, yeah.
In that place.
Yeah.
And the supply of heaven is spiritual and practical.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Jesus did that when he walked planet Earth.
Right.
He cared about the spiritual, but he got to the spiritual caring about the practical.
Absolutely,
and
absolutely.
So it's just how we perpetuate this ministry.
Mm-hmm.
If things start falling apart, we don't think, oh, where can we go to get more resources or what can we do? We think, Lord, is there a way that we've dropped this precious vision that you've given us of unity?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we need to shore that up?
Yeah.
To make that stronger, to
yeah.
do that better?
Yeah.
Because when that happens, The other just happens.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Immediately, the verse that comes to mind is, seek ye first the kingdom
mm-hmm.
of God
mm-hmm.
and his righteousness, and all these things will be added
Absolutely.
Unto you.
Absolutely.
And from you talking, the all these things, whether it's provision, or let's say it's my significance,
mm-hmm.
or
the wisdom I need,
the wisdom,
anything,
or even my own acceptance, like wanting to be heard, all of those things that we worry about, that causes this, is a part of the division, I think. And so by just saying, I'm not going to worry about this, I'm not going to worry about that, mm-hmm. let me recalibrate, mm-hmm. and get my focus back on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you shall love your neighbor
as yourself.
As yourself. Those are the first two commandments. Mm-hmm. And then all the other stuff will happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that as leaders, that we can get so wrapped up in how is this going to get done instead of just listening and following the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and focusing on the people that He's called us to work with and He puts us in contact with.
Absolutely.
And that is awesome.
It is amazing. But it's God's plan.
Yeah.
And His plan works.
Yes. Yeah.
And just to show how much value God puts on unity, in John chapter 17, Jesus is headed to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And He's prayed for Himself. Hallelujah. Don't you love that Jesus prayed for Himself?
Yeah, yeah.
And He's prayed for His disciples, and then He prays for us.
Mm-hmm.
And He says, Father, what I want for them,
mm-hmm.
is that they would be one as we are one.
Yeah.
That they would walk in unity as we walk in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Father and Son are not walking in unity being unkind to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Father and Son are not walking in unity warring at each other.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are walking in unity, loving, nourishing, encouraging, blessing each other.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus speaks so much value about Father God.
Mm-hmm.
And Father God speaks so much value,
yeah.
about Jesus.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Holy Spirit as well.
Yeah.
But it's just that Jesus was headed to the horror of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And what He was praying about was our unity.
Yeah.
That
wow.
says,
ooh,
this is
yeah,
big.
Yeah.
This is big.
Yeah.
So if it was that big to Him, it has to be intentional to us.
Mm-hmm.
We have to be intentional,
mm-hmm.
because it won't be big to us if we're not intentional.
Mm-hmm.
If we don't work at it,
mm-hmm.
it won't be.
Right.
He was headed to die.
Yeah.
We have to die.
Yeah, right.
It's
there you go.
Just that simple.
Wow. That is awesome. That is awesome.
It is big.
And from your book, there's so many gems inside of this book, Unseen Path. And where can people find this book? I know it's on Amazon, correct?
Yes.
Everything in the world is on Amazon.
I know.
Yeah.
Google or Amazon.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
It. Yes. You can go to my website, which is LindaHillWilliams.com.
Okay.
You can go to that and order the book. You can order it off of Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could drop by with Love from Jesus Ministries and buy a copy on the spot and check us out. Maybe God would have you volunteer.
There we go. There we go.
Yeah.
And we will put all those links to all those things in the podcast description, so they will be very easy for you to click on. And I love this. And let me just say something else about The Unseen Path, besides the fact that I cried through the book, but because I needed to hear a lot of it. What I love about this is that it is about your journey that God took you on, your training ground, as you say, and it is biblical truth. But with unities especially, sometimes I think we read those scriptures and of course we agree with them, right?
Sure.
Like, oh, love, 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 love.
Right.
But then we look at how the body really is, and then somebody rubs us the wrong way and we're like, oh, like it's just, It's hard, because is this really what you want, and is this really achievable? So what I see in this book is, here's a principle, here's how God worked it out in my life. And yes, it's this living, because of your life, it's like this living truth and sermon. So what I'm saying is that these principles are not just preached at you. It's been walked out in your inside of your life. And that has been extremely inspiring to me. And with leadership, a lot of times we hear about lots of other stuff, but not the principle of unity. And it's huge.
It is huge.
It's huge. It's huge. And maybe that's because as leaders, we want to conquer, right?
Yeah.
But we conquer by seeking the kingdom first. Well, we just let God take care of that. But we just seek the kingdom first and listen and follow. And part of that is the beautiful gift of love and unity. And when we fight for that instead of fighting each other, that's when we win. Because we really have a decision to make when we're hurt.
Yes.
Are we going to side with God, or are we going to side with the enemy who wants us to be divisive?
Right.
And when we side with God, we have that anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's way more powerful than the enemy or whatever it is that we're trying to accomplish.
Yes.
And it's like we're not being a doormat. We are standing with the power of Almighty God,
yes,
with whom all things are possible.
Yes.
So what you said
is powerful because this is important because it's important to God.
Yeah.
But it's important to God because it blesses us.
Yes.
When we do unity well, we are blessed.
Yeah.
We enjoy the body of Christ.
Yeah.
We love being brothers and sisters. We are, boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places.
Yes.
And it's a wonderful place.
Yeah.
When we don't do unity well, we have to separate and segregate and put walls around us because we can't stand it. We can't live under that kind of conflict and friction.
Yeah.
So we do the walls to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
But if we would learn to do unity instead, we don't need to protect ourselves.
Yeah.
Because we are protected.
Yes.
And the blessing of God flows, just like we read in Psalms, it flows from unity.
Yes. Awesome.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Thank you.
Is there anything else that the Lord has laid on your heart or that you would like to add before we close today?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I feel very good about this. And if you are a leader, get this book. Get Unseen Path. Here's the other thing that I loved about this. About reading Unseen Path, that as a leader myself, when the Lord has laid something on your heart, it's just so inspiring to read and to see how God was directing this beautiful path for you, you know. And so when you see that, it inspires you to say, yes, and I can follow God too. And yes, there'll be these windy paths and difficulties, but these difficulties, embrace it because it's part of my training ground for the next step
that is to
come.
And I haven't mentioned this, but there is a Bible study that goes with Unseen Path.
There is?
I wrote a Bible study about a year after I wrote the book, and it's for free.
Okay.
You just go to lyndahillwilliams.com and you can download it.
Okay.
But it's great for small groups. It's great if there's a church struggling, working through some stuff.
Yeah.
But there is a Bible study based on the book, so it is available for free. If people want to download it, they can have it.
Awesome. And that's on your website.
Yes.
Okay. And we'll set aside a separate link to that so people can go and to download that. And I sure will be as soon as I get home. And I'm excited about working through that. Linda, it was wonderful to talk to you. And
Thank
I appreciate your time so much and your wisdom. And you have certainly ignited my heart and passion again for what really matters most and the importance of unity. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, yes. Thanks so much for listening in. And again, at the bottom of this podcast, we will give you all the links to these wonderful resources from Linda. The Unseen Path, her Bible study, that's a free download that you can start working through. And also, With Love from Jesus. If you live in Raleigh, you can go down and visit to see how you can get involved. If you don't live in Raleigh and want to be a part of this ministry by giving financially, I would encourage you, as I'm definitely going to do, to go to their website. Just Google With Love from Jesus or click on the link and join in what God is doing. Have a great day, and thanks so much for listening. Bye-bye.